content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll start today's program with an article from Catster.com titled, How to Help Your Cat Lose Weight by Arden Moore. Say goodbye to extra pounds. You enter the new year with ambitious resolutions to eat more kale and less chocolate, or to spend more time at the gym and less at happy hours. Let's be realistic. Within a few weeks of the new year, chances are that you've already abandoned self-directed health goals. But you may be more motivated to stick with New Year's resolutions for your BFF, your best feline friend. Yep, we're referring to your cat who is doing more waddling and napping than climbing and romping. Take it from Daniel Clem, veterinarian and hospital director at the San Diego Humane Society. Practicing what she preaches, she safely helped her cat, Warren, a large brown striped tabby that arrived at the shelter weighing 15 pounds. He was adopted but returned a year later weighing a staggering 25 pounds. I took him in as a foster to get him to a healthy, adoptable weight but fell in love with him, says Dr. Clem, who also works with the shelter staff to employ weight loss strategies for other animals to increase their chances of adoption and to reduce their risks for health issues. It took 14 months to get him back down to an ideal body weight of 16 pounds. Now he is healthy, playful, and we can see his full, beautiful personality. Extra pounds equals problems. Fat cats may look cute and cuddly on the outside, but they are at risk for a slew of health issues. Many of the severe illnesses, such as heart disease, diabetes, pancreatitis, cancer, and arthritis, are associated with obesity, Dr. Clem says. There's a lot of strain carrying extra weight on the cat's joints, and excess weight can shorten a cat's lifespan. Cats are fastidious about maintaining shiny coats through grooming sessions throughout the day, but overweight cats can develop matted fur due to the inability to reach parts of their bodies to groom. Behavior-wise, some overweight cats become food bullies, pestering their people constantly for snacks and swiping food from plates. Is my cat fat? To determine if your cat is big-boned and at a healthy weight or needs to lose a few pounds, do the rib test. You should be able to feel your cat's ribs by moving your fingers across his body. You should also be able to see an hourglass shape when you stand over and look at your cat from above. For more tips on dealing with your overweight cat, visit the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention website founded by Ernie Ward, who has a doctorate of veterinary medicine, at petobesityprevention.org. Time for a plan. To begin your feline fat-free New Year's resolution, heed advice from Dr. Clem. Go slow and steady. Step 1. Recruit your veterinarian. The first step is to talk with your veterinarian and work together to institute a safe-effective weight loss program specific to your diet, to your cat, she says. Crash diets can be dangerous. Your cat can become highly stressed or at high risk for hepatic lipidosis or fatty liver disease, which is life-threatening and can cause irreparable damage to all organs. Gradually switch to foods that contain high protein and low carbohydrates to maximize the nutrition your cat receives with each bite. Step 2. Celebrate small drops in weight. The healthy weight loss pace for cats should range between shedding 1 to 2% of their total body weight per week. If you have an obese cat, one who weighs 30% above a healthy weight, you need to practice patience and dedication, Dr. Clem says. It can take over a year for your cat to reach his ideal weight, as was the case with Warren. Take your cat to your veterinary clinic once a week to place him on a PET scale to measure his weight down to an ounce. These visits may also help get your cat used to veterinary visits. For at-home weigh-ins, try using a digital luggage scale. Place your cat in a carrier with the digital luggage scale and measure the total weight. Then weigh the carrier alone and subtract the difference to determine your cat's accurate weight. Step 3. Treat your cat to calorie-free play sessions. Instead of food in the bowl, try putting your cat's measured portion in a treat ball at dinner and roll it on the floor for him to figure out how to access the kibble, Dr. Clem says. Treat dispensers give cats something to work on and prevent gobbling down food. Start slow with toys like feathered wands for your cat to swat in short exercise sessions. Step 4. Become your cat's personal stylist. Regular brushing and grooming sessions prevent mats from developing in your cat's coat and release healthy oils for the shiny coat look. A lot of overweight cats have difficulty grooming themselves and can develop not only mats, but yeast and urine infections, she says. Treating your cat to daily brushing can also be a bonding activity that increases the connection between you and your cat. Step 5. Celebrate your new slimmer cat. Motivate others by posting before and after photos of your cat on social media outlets. Maintain weekly weigh-ins and measure food, including treats, so your cat does not gain back added pounds. With Warren, we spoil him in many ways that do not involve food, Dr. Clem says. He likes sporting bow ties, so we made several for him, and he now likes playing with the toys. He's almost 8 years old and has much more energy and is much more playful. Move on to another article from Catster.com in the behavior section titled Cat Love Bites. What do they mean and why do they happen? By Denise Lebeau. You're petting your cat is purring, and she nibbles you. Learn the difference between cat love bites and real cat bites and how to handle each. Cat enthusiasts are probably the most passionate demographic around. We love our cats. We wear our love. We record it. We photograph it, and we share our love wholeheartedly. While we love our cats and we want our cats to love us back, sometimes we get a little too zealous in demonstrating said love to cats. Yes, we want to cuddle them and stroke them nonstop, and very often they enjoy the tension, up to a point. Cat love bites are a result of our demonstrative nature run amok. Anyone who has lived with a cat probably has a story or two about cat love bites. Let's find out how to identify cat love bites versus real cat bites and what to do when cat love bites happen. Cat love bites and being overstimulated. Cat sounds can only provide insight into our cat's emotions to a point. So we rely on cat body language to figure out how cats feel. Ears back, low growl, thumping tail says, "Stay away from me right now." A cat who is cornered and agitated could lash out and attack the perceived threat. Watching for escalating aggressive signals from your cat can thwart real cat bites. Real cat bites that result in puncture wounds should be addressed right away. However, there are times when you and your cat are in the groove. You're giving him a nice ear rub, and he's looking at you with soft eyes, giving you the cat's slow blink kiss. He might even start kneading your leg. The feeling of mutual admiration is pulsing through the air. You start rubbing his shoulders. He seems to really like that area caressed. So you increase the pressure and lean in a little more to ramp up that purr. Then, seemingly without warning, he bites down on your hand as you're petting him. The pain probably takes hold of you before you can realize what just happened. Cat love bites strike again. According to Jackson Galaxy, cat behaviorist and author, cat love bites mean your cat is overstimulated. More precisely, Galaxy tells the Sydney Morning Herald, it's called petting-induced overstimulation. The hair follicle receptors in a cat can only take so much petting before it hurts. Cat love bites can be a behavioral holdover from kitten days. My Himalayan mix, named Slayer, will out of the blue come over and bite my arm. It's more like a nip. Whether I'm on the couch or in bed, he hops up and makes this random gesture, and he'll plop down and expose his belly. The ritual ends with me giving him a few strokes, but not too many. So what's that about? Dr. Karen Becker tells Huffington Post that it's reminiscent of the ways cats and kittens playfully interact with each other. It's another form of cat love bites, but it's not just a result of too much stimulation. It's your cat just being playful and using his nonverbal communication skills to let you know he'd like some attention now, please. Cat love bites and play aggression in cats. Most kittens play rough. Youngsters' play is not only a form of social bonding, it also prepares the litter for adulthood. Bouts of mock stalking and hunting give way to pouncing and biting. Cat love bites can occur when your kitten is playing aggressively with you, especially if your kitten doesn't have another feline playmate. Again, you can tell the difference between the aggressive playtime and real aggression in cats by paying attention to your kitty. If he's not growling or hissing, his excitement, not agitation, is escalating. It's important to remember that his play drive is connected to prey drive, which historically ends with a kill. Dr. Jean Hova, doctorate of veterinary medicine, holistic veterinarian, warns on Jackson Galaxy's blog that playing rough with your kitten can directly cause unwanted aggression towards you when he's an adult. Cat love bites from kittens might be funny, Adult cat love bites might cause swelling and infection. If you've inadvertently created a cat who gets a bit too mouthy with cat love bites during play, you can change that behavior. Don't play with your cat using your hands. Instead, use a toy with a string or wand. Teach your cat to fetch. Try clicker training with your cat. What to do after a cat love bite? In his interview with the Sydney Morning Herald, Galaxy recommends watching for signs of agitation while you're petting your cat. If his pupils start dilating, his ears pin back, and his tail starts wagging, stop caressing your cat. It's really that simple. If you don't stop before those cat love bites happen, definitely stop as soon as you're bitten. Then let your cat establish what he wants to do next. Sometimes cats make a mad dash out of there. Sometimes they still want to be near you, they just don't want you petting them any longer. Respect your cat's boundaries, and if he stays next to you, don't keep touching him. The bottom line on cat love bites. Cats show their affection in a myriad of subtle ways, so always be receptive to what he's telling you. Seemingly innocuous actions like cheek rubs, headbutting, and licking are actually letting you know they love you. Whether he's hanging around and purring or kneading your extremities raw and chirping, it's all about love. So whether they're giving you little cat love bites out of follicle frustration or out of kitty cat playfulness, our cats are always letting us know how they feel. It's up to us to pay attention. Next, we'll move on to Dogster magazine, and in the Sit, Stay, Go section, and Go Here, Go There, we'll turn to an article titled Gone Country by Nikki Moustaki. Practically the only things a city dog and a country dog have in common is canine DNA and love of snacks. Their lives couldn't be more different. They have space, fresh air, grassy fields, and room to run, freedom to poop wherever they want, and so many delicious smells, says Wendy Wilson, who lives on an 80-acre hobby farm in Oakland, Oregon, with her chihuahuas Petey and Cheech. Rural dogs, when kept by responsible owners with fenced properties, really do have it made. They can roam and sniff and roll and explore without being confined. Rural dog training. Rural dogs have more freedom than city dogs, but that comes with its own set of training challenges. All of them for the safety of the dog and the people and the other critters he encounters. I had to teach Sophie not to kill our chickens, says Berta Bader, a full-time student from Boise, Idaho, of her 11-year-old miniature poodle. I supervised Sophie with the chickens and distracted her when she looked at them. Next step was a lot of praise every time she ignored the chickens. Now chicken killing is not her main focus. Lisa G. Schaefer, Ph.D. from Spokane, Washington, has trained her 4 dogs, 2 dachshunds, and 2 St. Bernards to stop on command. We don't want our wiener dogs in with our miniature horses, Lisa says. These horses don't like the small dogs, and we worry what they'll get stepped on. If we say stop, they stop and wait for us to pick them up, or if it gets their attention, and we can call them back. Shannon Bridwell of Greer, South Carolina, lives with 2 greyhounds and 5 Ibizan hounds. A lot of rural dogs have issues with barking, reactivity, and other behavioral concerns associated with lack of socialization, training, and mental and physical stimulation, she says. A lot of rural owners do not take their dogs out as often as city people do. Sharma Sontag of Lander, Wyoming, who lives with 3 rat terriers, says that rural dogs need to be trained not to chase wildlife and that they should be snake trained as well. Emily Hurt of Sherman, Texas, who lives with 7 border collies, says that the biggest training must have for the rural dog is good check-in behavior. I know when I'm out on the property, I can count on my dogs to check in with me periodically, just to be sure they know where I am. This is reinforced from the time that they're very young, and it's something I make sure to continuously reinforce and strengthen as the dogs go through different stages of maturity. Country dog health. Rural dogs need flea and tick control, heartworm prevention, the leptospirosis vaccine, and intestinal parasite control, says Lisa Whitney, doctorate of veterinary medicine from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. Emily also says that the biggest health must is staying up to date on preventatives. All of my border collies naturally seem to avoid or ignore snakes, but my Jack Russell was a master snake hunter back in the day, she says. I gave her the rattlesnake vaccine a few times. I didn't want her to be in a bad spot and have her completely unprotected. Wendy also believes in preventative care to the country dog's love of nature snacks. Deer poop looks like doggo kibble, turkey poop looks like ice cream, and dead mice and rodents are part of life in the country, she says. They're all delicious to dogs. Gotta keep them on worm preventatives. Other animals pose a big hazard to the country dog, from snakes to predators, from rabid animals to those who seem like not much of a threat like deer. Petey once thought a deer reclining under an oak tree was our late greyhound Magic, says Wendy of her Chihuahua. When he went to say hi, the deer hoofed him. He had a huge gash across his torso. Thankfully, he didn't need stitches, but he learned his lesson, and I did too. Lisa Chickenow of Sparta, North Carolina, has also had an unexpected experience with a dog and a deer. Waffles, my Chihuahua mix, fell in love with a doe who kept coming to the fenced acre where we have our fruit trees and chickens, Linda says. They ran along the fence together like playing. After several days, the deer turned up in our garden one evening at dusk. Before I could stop him, Waffles went running full speed to her, barking all the way. She eyeballed him, and when he got close enough, she raised one hoof and kicked him. He came yipping back to the door with poop hanging out of his butt. It sounds funny now, but at the time I was scared he must have been hurt. Luckily, nothing was broken but his heart. Susan Daffron of Sandpoint, Idaho, says that her dogs are never left unsupervised and that they always are on a leash, confided in a fenced area or inside the house. One of our neighbors had their dog stomped on by a moose, which broke the dog's back. Other dogs in the area have been shot by property owners because the dog was messing with their livestock, such as eating chickens. Weather can also pose a health danger. Make sure that your dog stays hydrated in hot weather, especially if he has a thick coat. Frostbite can be a hazard, and poor visibility during snowstorms can cause disorientation, says Kelly Leathers from Vail, Colorado, who lives with Lily, a 10-year-old Newfoundland Golden Retriever mix. If you live in a mountainous region, avalanches can be a serious risk. This year, there was an avalanche almost every day. Many dog parents choose to put a beacon on their canine companions. Even plants in the environment can cause a dog pain and illness. When Sharma worked as a veterinarian technician, a young Springer Spaniel, Yukon, was brought into the clinic with thousands of foxtails embedded in his body. Owners wanted him euthanized. He had them in his ear, his legs, belly, neck, pretty much everywhere, Sharma says. I adopted him and then spent 9 months removing foxtails and getting him well. Yukon went on to be a therapy dog. Challenges and advantages. We run into a major issue with off-leash, unsocialized dogs, Shannon says. There's a mentality in the country that dogs can just run loose. We can't even take walks on the road because there are so many loose dogs. I also feel that many rural dogs do not get the same level of socialization and intentional exercise because owners rely on big yards and don't take their dogs out very often. Lisa says that her dachshund, Trixie, is an excellent mouser, and that if they don't watch her, the dog will tear up the garden. She has destroyed a lawnmower trying to get to a mouse nest, torn up sprinklers trying to get to mice, has dug under the deck. Basically, she's always in search of mice, Lisa says. Rural dogs also find strange things because many are allowed to roam and explore the land. My collie, Emma, brought home an empty tortoise shell, says Terry Albert, who lives in Poway, California, with four dogs. Another time, she brought home the head of a steer my neighbor had butchered. He had thrown the head in a nearby bush. Life as a country dog also has many advantages, and there are advantages for dog lovers as well. Most rural areas allow people to keep many more dogs than they could in the city or the suburbs. We need to be rural because we had a hard time in the city finding a facility, says Melody Huff of Beloit, Kansas, who works in a dog rescue. It was much easier here to build a place so that we could live in the same building with the pets that we're caring for. Next, we'll move on to an article in the Be Foractive section of Dogster called How to Become a Dog Fosterer by Lauren Cadams. Last year, my family adopted a senior-age Chihuahua mix named Lainey. She walked on a leash, liked car rides, and had a hearty appetite. But soon it became clear that Lainey was happiest curled up on my lap with no one else around. If dogs had theme songs, Lainey's would be Just the Two of Us by Bill Withers. She growled at my husband and kids and verged on aggressive when my other Chihuahua would innocently try to claim a leg for herself. Lainey clearly had experienced some trauma and needed attention and patience from someone who was able to socialize her enough so she could thrive in a home environment, someone like a foster parent. A fosterer temporarily cares for a dog, typically a few weeks to a few months depending on the dog's needs, until the dog is ready to be put up for adoption. Behavioral issues aren't the only reasons that dogs need fostering. Home environments are better for dogs healing from medical procedures, puppies or kittens too young to stay in the shelter, or senior dogs needing a stress-free home for hospice. You can save lives, says Aaron Steen, foster specialist at Best Friends Animal Society in Southern Utah. Of foster parents whose house animals that aren't thriving in a shelter situation, who have who care for animals that a shelter no longer has room for. Unfortunately, we couldn't keep Lainey, still a sore subject in our house, but it did show me how much impact foster parents can have on a successful adoption. Three nationally recognized organizations take us through the steps of becoming a dog fosterer. Getting oriented. Most shelters have information on their websites with a place to fill out an online application. A shelter will then enroll you in an orientation to familiarize you with the fostering process, including the shelter's expectations, what types of animals need help, and how your availability, no matter how limited, can be of service. Fostering is a great option for folks who work full-time or travel a lot, and having a pet full-time isn't an option for them, Aaron says. Best Friend runs a sanctuary, which acts as a refuge for neglected animals nationwide and encourages all types and sizes of families to apply, including teenagers who can put fostering hours toward community service credits for school. It's a great opportunity to teach kids about the responsibility of pet ownership, says Aaron, who typically has 75 families fostering a year. Those numbers increase during kitten and puppy litter season in the spring, and more help is needed to look after the pregnant mothers and young babies until they are strong enough for adoption. The matchmaking process. Shelters try to find the best match based on personality, home life, and experience levels. We do one-on-one matchmaking, similar to what we would do with an adoption, says Sylvia Ataka, Senior Director of Operations at North Shore Animal League America in Port Washington, New York, the world's largest no-kill rescue and adoption organization. For more intense cases, for example, a dog recovering from surgery, North Shore offers in-depth training and classes. Other perks include donated food, toys, beds, and medical supplies, and a 24-hour-a-day support and a dedicated phone line for foster parents. With all these services offered, most organizations like North Shore require foster parents to live in the vicinity of the shelter for easy access for check-ins and veterinary appointments. Adoption time. There's no obligation or expectation that the foster family will adopt the animal, says Eileen Hanavan, Director of Volunteer and Foster Engagement at the ASPCA Adoption Center in New York City. In fact, many foster parents choose not to adopt because they can't make a long-term commitment to dog ownership. Through the ASPCA Adoption Ambassadors Program, the fosterer can take the lead with the dog's adoption, posting photos and videos on social media, sharing personal stories with potential adopters, or bringing the dog to local adoption events. The program has resulted in fewer dogs being sent back to the shelter after adoption, according to the ASPCA. Occasionally, some fosterers choose to adopt their foster pets, Eileen says, and we see that as a success. Hashtag pause for this cause, what you can do. The three organizations partner with thousands of local shelters nationwide. Search their databases online for shelters in your area with foster programs, or visit local shelters to research which program will be a good fit for you. Give it a try. You have nothing to lose. Remember, there's no commitment. Even if you choose to foster only one animal for a few days, you're still making a difference. Foster on your schedule. Shelters want the experience to be rewarding, not taxing. Find the right commitment level so you or family can enjoy the company of another pet. If you want more information about these organizations, you can go to the ASPCA website, which is aspca.org, or the North Shore Animal League, which is animalleague.org, and finally, Best Friends Animal Society, which is bestfriends.org. Now, for my favorite article, WAGS, this month, it's titled NowZad's Inspirational Quest by Bryn Noel. NowZad is the name of a small town in Afghanistan. It is also the name of a nonprofit organization, inspired when its founder and CEO, Penn Farthing, fell in love with a dog when he was based in NowZad while serving in the Royal Marines. At the conclusion of his tour of duty, he managed to bring the dog home, but not without significant expense and risk, as there was no formal way to do so up to that point. In the 12 years since NowZad, means newborn in Dari, was established, the organization has helped to bring around 1,300 dogs and cats to their newly adoptive homes once the soldier who bonded with them has finished his or her tour of duty. The range of countries where pets have been reunited with their owners include the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, Belgium, France, Holland, Italy, Spain, Jordan, Thailand, and South Africa. Much of the NOWSAD's focus is assisting with the necessary medical care for adopted animals, including treatments for diseases, spay and neuter surgeries, and immunizations, while also housing the dogs or cats in their Kabul-based shelter as funds are raised for their transport home. Two female veterinarians work at the clinic, which also provides medical care to pets for the communities that are in Afghanistan, while also working to educate the future generation of Afghan veterinarians. In addition to assisting with adoption, rescue, and providing medical care, NOWSAD helps to provide safe and secure employment opportunities for Afghan women. Penn says, a lot of women in Afghanistan, under the rule of the Taliban, were unable to be educated since girls' schools were banned. There's a hesitation for sending women into the workforce. It was NOWSAD's goal to provide safe and secure employment for women, where they receive a fair living wage. Through the use of their female county manager, who helps to inform women in the community about employment opportunities at NOWSAD, they now employ women for a variety of roles, including homemade goods that are then sold on the NOWSAD website. Goods sold help to fund the operational costs of NOWSAD, while also introducing those who purchase items to the talent of the women who create the products, which include items like cat collars, decorations, and jewelry. We tried to not only help the animals of Afghanistan, but also help the people as well. That was the ethos behind the charity. Yes, animal welfare is important, but animal welfare to help the people is important too. And that's what we've tried to make for this charity, Penn says. For more information, you can visit NOWSAD.com. And Bryn Noel is an award-winning pet blogger and photographer, and her blog, adogwalksintoabar.com, features dog-friendly breweries and wineries, educational posts, and a lot of humor. She has two Boston Terriers, Bean and Yoda, and she's passionate about rescue. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.